You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Doing not too bad. Not too bad for a hot weekend we just endured. Yes.
Yeah, it was, it was nice. It was good swimming weather.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah. Did you do some swimming?
Just did a little swimming. We had a multi-birthday party at our house yesterday.
Cool.
We got a pool in the back. So.
Yeah, that's great.
So three kids, three grandchildren.
It looks like you got some sun.
Got a lot of sun.
Yeah.
So that was nice. That was nice. There are, I'm in a bad mood this morning.
I'm trying to cheer you up. I'm trying
I don't know. One thing that's gnawing at me is the Ron Paul campaign. Mm. There are Ron Paul people, a lot of supporters who feel betrayed right now. Because Ron Paul's son, mm-hmm. who a lot of us knew is not Ron Paul, actually endorsed Romney.
Wow.
Looking at it rationally, I understand, and I know Ron Paul's not his dad, but it still is very distasteful.
Yeah.
Hugely distasteful. And And Ron Paul's basically given up on the campaign, too, with his announcement. We're not going to get enough delegates to win. And it's really disheartening to a lot of supporters who are banking on this idea that the own Republican Rules Committee attorney from 2008 said that those rules, that the delegates aren't bound, that they can vote for anybody. You know, and then he pushed, originally they pushed, you know, fighting for Texas and California. Now they gave up on that. And it all happened after this very cryptic statement by presidential advisor and Ron Paul advisor Doug Weed, who basically said, well, there's something people don't know, maybe you'll know in 20 or 30 years. Of why this shift in this campaign. And then that was right before there were some insiders throwing out the rumors that Ron Paul or his family had been threatened with their life.
Oh, you're kidding me. This is news to me.
And that's what I think has happened. And I understand caving into that. I can't, you know, and maybe I would do the same thing in their shoes. Mm-hmm. But it's sure disheartening. It seems to me the safest thing to do is go public with it. Obviously, the mainstream media is going to depict himself even more as, oh, he's a kook. Oh, they're after him. He's paranoid.
Right, right.
But you got to, maybe you show you some proof somehow, or you issue out an affidavit. You know, that always gives it a little more strength and
sure,
clarity
sure.
And truth to
truth,
it.
Sure.
But I think that's what happened. I think, we'll give you this bone, we'll throw you that bone, but you got to cool it on the serious campaigning thing, because your son's not going to survive or something like that. That'd be my guess. I doubt if they go after Ron Paul directly, but I bet you they'd threaten his son's life.
Well, who do you think they are when you're talking about
I know, that sounds real conspiratorial nonsense, but they... I think there is a ruling elite in this country
mm-hmm.
that is a corporate ruling elite that controls both the establishment Republicans and the establishment Democrats. And I think they control all the seeds of power, including the CIA and the FBI, and I think that's the same power that had John Kennedy assassinated, to be honest with you. And I think they're at the last. I do think this paradigm shift is happening, and it's going to happen regardless of how they threaten Ron Paul, regardless how the Ron Paul campaign is acting right now. But they still are in power, and I think they're exercising their last ditch effort, against what is the inevitable. And it's really sad. And I just can't see Romney get elected. I can't see. And I have my fellow Republican. We'll talk about this today. Bruno Barron's going to be back, and we're going to actually talk about the presidential race today.
Good.
So we're going to have, I think we'll have some fun. Bruno will probably bring me down to earth again, since he's got that personality. But I'm raving mad right now. I'm raving mad. And, I don't know. I think that's from what I've heard from insider stories and from what Doug Weed said himself. I think the family was threatened. I think that's what's happened. And it's from the ruling establishment elite, which includes the military industrial complex. They have everything to lose with the Ron Paul victory. The military-industrial complex is over. The drug-industrial complex is over if Ron Paul gets elected.
Sure.
That's their livelihood.
Sure.
And I think they'll do anything to stop that from happening. So, I don't know. Do you see Dan's on the phone?
Yeah.
Well, let's hear from Dan.
All right.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how you doing today?
Oh, not good. Thank you.
I shouldn't ask you how you're doing. I know how you're doing. I just wanted to, I told Mike off of the air that if you go back to the Ross Perot campaign, same thing happened to him.
Yeah. They threatened my daughter's wedding or something like that. There was, right? Something.
Well, the Republicans were going to do something about his wedding, but there was also two other theories. One, that his life and his family's life was threatened, and the other one was that the global elite bankers were going to ruin his company and basically bankrupt him.
Yeah.
So take your choice.
I don't doubt any of that.
But, you know, I have to fully agree with you, and I've been saying this for I don't know how long, and maybe people will wake up to it, probably not, but I've got the same feeling you do, that there is an elite group of people who are the controllers who make sure that their people, whether it's a Republican or Democrat, and all of this, all these
right.
side issues, getting the union people to fight the non-union people, getting the blacks to fight the whites, getting, you know, putting us all into these little compartments so we are so busy fighting each other we don't see who's actually at fault.
Yeah, I basically agree with you there. It's a divide and conquer strategy.
The biggest thing that Ron could have done, and you know it's going to be whitewashed now, there's not going to be one chance in a million that anybody's going to even consider auditing the Fed and finding out where the $15 trillion went.
Oh, but Mitt Romney assured Rand Paul he's in favor of auditing the Fed. That's one of the reasons Rand Paul couldn't endorse him.
And you and I know both how far that's going to go.
You mean Mitt Romney's not a man of his word? I got all these Republican friends say you can't reelect Obama. We got to get Romney in. Well, I'm sorry. Are you kidding me? So what? Romney on economics is going to let the country, fall into disaster maybe 100% a little less fast than the Democrats.
Does he have a capital R by his name?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
A capital R by his name for Republican.
Who's that?
Romney,
a capital R by his. I'm missing your point. I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm
Republican.
Slow.
He's got the R by
right.
his name as a Republican.
Right.
So we don't have to worry about him keeping his word because we know what that means.
Oh well. I actually, as an adjective, I first called the Republican Party the stupid party, not the dishonest party. But I mean, there's a lot of that going on too. But generally, they're the stupid party.
Well, hey, you have to remember who was it gave us Obama to begin with. It was the Illinois Republican Party. Way to go, Republicans.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well,
remember who was it that you got 13 million people in the state of Illinois, and who does the Illinois Republican Party get to run against Obama for, I think it was state senate, if I remember right? Alan Keyes from Maryland. I'm sorry, but there are 13 million Illinois people, and you couldn't find one of them to run against him. What a bogus party! They don't even exist anymore.
Did you say you weren't posing that to me personally? I assume you're talking to the Republican Party when you said you.
Oh yeah, the Republican.
Okay.
Well, just letting people know whose fault it is. All these Republicans that keep coming in, they've got to defeat Obama. They've got to do this. He's doing all these bad things, but who gave them to us to begin with? It was the Republican Party and their total ineptitude. But anyway, I'll let you get on to better callers or whatever.
Oh no! None of this false deprecating stuff, Dan. You're one of the best. I can't say you're one of the best anymore. Nobody should logically say one of the best. There can only be one best. And I learned that
from a
commencement speech that's really gone viral over the internet, which if you just look up commencement speech, you are not special. You'll find it. I know I saw it on Yahoo News. It's really a great speech, and it really puts down this what's the words I want to use? Self-involved. This generation that thinks that self-esteem is something just to be given to you, instead of something that's earned. And this guy really puts it in its place. You've got to earn something. You know, there's billions of people on the planet, and even if you're one in the million, there's 7,000 others just like you. and you want to make something of yourself, you have to earn it. You can't be given it to you. It's not something that comes to you just because you're an American. And it was words that, I mean, some obvious words that needed to be said. But one of the things he said is that, you know, you're not one of the best because there's only one best.
So it's just like, you know, having second place in any competition, if you think about it, and this came from some, I think it was a football coach, one of the NFL coaches, or maybe college.
Well, Vince Lombardi said winning is not everything, it's the only thing, if that's what you're referring to.
Second place is the first loser.
Okay.
That was his quote.
All right. Well, but yeah, anyway, except I guess that's not really true. That's not really true in horse racing, right? I mean, if you got your money on place, then you're a winner.
You're right. You can also show, I guess.
Yeah, you can even show. So
tell Bruno I said hi.
Okay, Dan, thanks for your call.
All right, have a good one.
All right. Do we have Bruno on now?
Yeah, we do.
All right, let's go right to him. Hey, Bruno.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Mike's doing fine. I'm doing. I can't. No, he said I can't use that word anymore on the
please,
air.
No, please.
I'm in a bad mood, Bruno. I know you'll pick it. I know your effervescent personality, your always positive personality, is going to get me out of this.
Yeah, well, you caught me on an okay day, but on days when I'm in a bad mood, I guess we could have a mutual misery society. No, seriously.
See, even saying it that way, you picked me up. Oh, God. Well, you know, I don't know how close you follow, you know, the inner workings of the Ron Paul people or campaign, but there are some really disappointed people who feel that they've been betrayed in the Ron Paul movement.
What does this have to do with the Republican Party convention over this weekend?
Which one was that? Oh, was that
the one here in Illinois?
Oh, in Illinois. Oh, I missed that. I was going to be a delegate, and then I didn't do it. So what happened at the Illinois convention? You give me that bad news first.
Nothing. So I don't know if that's good or bad, but I did. I didn't go. I was at
what?
I was at CPAC on Friday, and I didn't go on Saturday. But apparently, Joe Walsh gave a real barn burner of a speech. But that's all I know about it.
At the convention, at the Republican convention.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Joe Walsh isn't the worst of the world. I mean, at least he voted. I think the last chance he got, he voted against the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
Oh, it was either that or NDA. No, I think he voted for National Defense Authorization Act. I'm not sure. One of the two he voted against, though. So it's like, okay, he's not completely 100% bad.
No, but there's, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why you're depressed. I know that the Ron Paul movement and all the stuff that you guys have been doing is. Been having quite an impact.
Oh yeah.
And you're building party organization, and you're getting things done. So I'd say you guys were making good headway, even if you.
How could Rand Paul endorse?
Take over something as moribund and dysfunctional as the Republican Party in just a couple, you know, a couple election cycles. It takes a while.
How does Rand Paul endorse Mitt Romney? How does that happen?
Because no one else is going to win.
But
here's the funny thing.
Does it matter? What can happen?
I'd rather talk about Illinois stuff, but I'll tell you.
No, we're here to talk about the presidential politics today, Bruno. We devoted a whole program to that other crap.
I'd rather talk about some of the stuff that's going on here in Illinois and how we're actually having a positive impact on things.
We already did that 2 weeks ago.
Well... Did we?
Yeah, I think we did. Didn't
well,
we? What did we miss? Well, we'll get rid of it right away. So if we missed anything 2 weeks ago, let me know what we missed.
Okay, here's the one thing I don't think I got out, and I would just like to remind people to do it. Our website, which I don't think I had a chance to mention last time.
Oh, we gave you every chance in the world. Every chance. We always. Mike, before the end of the program, always allow... my guest to give out a website.
Yeah, how does someone get a hold of you? What's your contact information,
right.
Including website?
For every time.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I think it's probably my fault that I didn't get it out. We were talking about other stuff, so I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying that we're, you know, let's put it this way. In Illinois, the biggest impact you can have, you know, along with doing all the party stuff that you're trying to do and get, you know, things done, is to start running for local office and running against all the people that have been hiking your property taxes like crazy with impunity. It's the property taxes that are literally bankrupting this state, and we're kind of building a campaign to try and show people what I call, and I've actually trademarked these words, government in Illinois is a legalized money laundering scheme. And
that sounds like a paraphrase from H.L. Mencken, but that's okay. We'll give you some credit.
I haven't checked that, but I will when I do my search. I actually did a copyright and trademarking search on that phrase, and I did not find anything in any.
I just mean the content, not necessarily the wording, the verbiage, the content.
This is what we're discovering with all the different emails we're putting out, and all the different kind of like special little tricks that they're using. And I don't know if your listeners saw yesterday's egregious example of this with that Toyota stadium in Bridgeview, but you've got like pension schemes, bond schemes, borrowing schemes, ladled on top of more governmental entities in any state in the country. I mean, 6,900 governmental entities in Illinois. And every single one of these groups and all of these governments use all of these laws that have been put into place since the horrible 1970 Constitution, and they've literally created a legalized kleptocracy. They just spend and borrow you into debt. So what we're doing with Open the Books and starting to open up some of the stuff that's happening on this stuff is we're giving citizens the ability to go in, find the spending, find what it is people are doing, and then we're going to start doing some training. And your audience is probably already pretty good with some of this stuff, but how to do Freedom of Information Act requests, how to use Open the Books and Freedom of Information Act requests to start making folks nervous, and then working with other organizations to get people trained on how to fight on the boots on the ground and how to fight this stuff. It's not easy, but let's put it this way. The good news is that when liberal San Jose and liberal, not as liberal, but pretty liberal San Diego vote to openly curtail existing public employee pensions, then it can't be all bad out there.
All right. You've successfully lured me back into Illinois politics, and you mentioned the property tax. I really want you to explain this to me, and I don't really even been asking this question in a glib way. How is it that my property tax, when my property values go up, it seems like the taxes just go up just right along the value of the property supposedly going up. But when the property plummets in value, first of all, they say there's a 3 or 4 year time lag, and then that happens, and you still see your property taxes going up because of the equalizer. Please explain it to me and all my listeners, because I don't think anybody in the state understands this.
Well, and this is that's again, like I mentioned, the pension scam and the X scam and the Y scam and the Z scam. They're all layered on top of each other. One of the other scams in this state is the property tax scam, and it's one of the most complex property tax systems in the country. And like a lot of other states, they average out the tax on your assessed value over 3 years to smooth out any dramatic drops or increases in value. But all of those things are managed inside of a framework of a far more important piece of the puzzle. And so the most important piece of the puzzle, the only thing to keep your eye on, forget about the assessment, forget about the equalized assessed valuation, the only thing to keep your eye on is the unit of government's property tax levy. So your school district, you live in, let's say you live in Elgin. You've got the city of Elgin. You've got the city of Elgin pension. You've got U46 school district. You've got all of these. You live in a place, and that place is encompassed by, five or six or ten local government entities. All the other stuff, the rate, the equalizer, all the other stuff that's out there doesn't matter anywhere near as much all those things put together are make up 10% of your calculation. The biggest part of the calculation is how much they spent.
Isn't there a limit of 5%, or it has to go to referendum for those,
well,
these entities?
That's a beautiful question. There's something in the state called PTEL, Property Tax Extension Limitation Levy, or Levy Limitation. And what they're doing is this, so when they say, okay, everybody inside U46 school district, these are the values of their, the equalized assessed valuation of their property, and we're gonna levy $10 million there, you know, we're gonna levy $80 million for the school district. They're supposed to have a limit on that levy. Your oily school district superintendent, and if a school superintendent is talking, he's probably lying. They'll sit there and say, oh, but there's a property tax cap on there, there's a tax cap. Well, they don't tell you that there's 5 or 6 different funds that they can levy for. They don't tell you that they've watered down PTEL to such a point where it almost doesn't matter. So while one or two of those funds or some of those funds might be capped, debt is not capped. You can borrow money on 5 or 6 different funds, and there's no cap on the borrowing. So what they basically do is they've created, and it's basically like a shell game where you've got, you know, the little caps with them,
yep,
and try and find the P under the cap.
Right.
And what they have is they've got about 75 different little caps, you know, or shells, and the one P is your property tax. And then every time you ask them about the tax rate, they talk about the assessment. Then they talk about the equalized assessment. Then they talk about that something's capped. And they basically have this ability to lie to your face. And the one thing your listeners got to pay attention to, the only thing that really matters, is the levy. And to come back to the point you made, PTEL, the cap, the spending cap.
Yep.
What we need to do in Illinois, and this is kind of where we're headed over the summer with putting together a campaign for 2012 and 2014 as far as finding candidates and getting people to work on this stuff, is that we have to get rid of all of the PTEL exceptions about all the different funds and who owes debt, and they can do it. And just freeze the spending.
What you're saying is they can borrow without limitation, which means we could be paying interest rates from the borrowing without limitation.
Yeah, exactly. So in 19, and make no mistake, when they passed PTEL in 94, and that was that brief interim where slightly less insane Republicans took over the House for 2 years. From 94 to 96. When they passed it in 94, it actually did have an effect on slowing the rate of property tax growth. The only problem is that you had this artificial expansion in real estate values. You know, this all goes to how much money they print and how they manufacture money out of thin air.
Right.
You had this artificial expansion in real estate values. And then you had all of these shell games with all these little funds and all the little games that they play that everybody thought, oh, well, my taxes are going up and it's really bad and I don't understand why they're climbing so high. But because everybody out there thought that, oh, well, we're going to be able to retire with $2.5 million of net worth based on the growth and the value of our three-bedroom, two-bath townhouse. And once that bubble burst, all of a sudden, all of the other pieces in place, being able to raise the levy beyond the cap, being able to borrow. I'll give you one simple example, and I like using it because Adam Angievsky, who founded For the Good of Illinois, and he's now running the PAC, and I'm running the C4, he literally took out the politician that did this, but there's a guy downstate called Roger Eddy, number one Republican water carrier for unions. And a real piece of work. And there was one last vestige of PTEL, that basically said that if you have a fund for working cash in a school district, where it's a working cash fund, which they said they invented or needed to invent because you tax in 1 year, you collect in another year, and you receive your tax dollars in the third year. So we needed a working cash fund. There was a rule in that fund that you couldn't transfer money out of that fund without having to transfer it back in. because it was just there for working cash. Well, so last year, Roger Eddy goes out and he introduces a bill to say, well, let's just take all rules and regulations off the working cash fund. And the working cash fund is one of those funds that is not subject to PTEL. So you now have, again, a legalized money laundering scheme where your school district can shut down, it can drain the working cash fund, it can then reinstate the working cash fund and start up a whole new borrowing tax to borrow money into the working cash, and it doesn't have to worry about whether it's going to a building or the teachers or anything. It's just literally a limitless borrowing scheme. It is potentially subject to a total debt cap that still exists, but they're even finding ways to get around that with all kinds of little bond schemes. So I don't know if your listeners' eyes are glazing over at this point, but this is how they build a system that becomes virtually impossible to reform unless you just go right at the level of spending and cap it.
Well, brilliant analysis, Bruno, and I think I got part of it. I mean, I just can tell it was brilliant, even though I didn't follow every iota, and I'm sure a lot of people couldn't follow all of it. Because it is, as you say, very complicated. And I consider myself relatively intelligent. I got some of it. But it seems to me that a lot of us in Illinois are plain folks, and you know, maybe it's just we're ready for a tax revolt. Maybe, I mean, to address all these real arcane issues, I don't think we're going to win that argument because it is so complicated. Maybe we should just simplify it and just say we're not going to pay this. Mike subdivision, there are people going to move out all over the place. People that are at retirement age, they can't retire in Illinois.
Absolutely. And this is what you're actually doing a really good thing for me here, because I should have started with the headline, and then I should have ended with the headline, and instead I just went through the long explanation. Let me give people the headline one more time. You have to cap the spending of the governmental entity. You have to go to the city of Elgin and say, shut up. You spent $100 million last year. This year you're spending $100 million plus inflation and not a dime more.
Or how about this? My budget, I had to reduce 10% last year. So why don't you reduce? Oh, we'll let you, since your government only reduce your budget 9%. So you got a 1% advantage being government. We got to reduce ours 10%. I'm dreaming.
That would be the best solution if you could pull it off politically. The problem is, again, we've become a welfare state to the point where so many people are reliant on so many services. But I agree with you. I mean, one of the things I've been saying, and I think we're getting to the point of being able to say it, people may not want to cut back on police and fire, even though some of those folks are making some pretty nice salaries and have some pretty nice benefits. But the fact is that every single person in your audience should be able to look any soccer mom in the eye and say, yes, we have to cut education spending. And you can't just have your head explode and run around and go, oh my gosh, the children, and oh, oh, oh. No.
Well, we should be prepared. We should be armed and prepared with the knowledge of the Hanischek survey. There's absolutely no correlation between educational spending and student achievement.
Exactly. And the reason for there's no correlation is because it's all going into the pockets of, quite frankly, politically protected from competition teachers. Some of whom
the teachers will tell you it's going all in the administration. It's all the bureaucrats. They're getting all
the that's the biggest piece of it. The benefits and salaries of layer after layer of completely unnecessary administration. And, you know, I don't know if you're getting callers, but I'll tell you, I get people that, you can't say that my friend is a school superintendent and he's a really nice guy. It's like, you know what, your superintendent might be a nice guy, but his job is to increase everybody's taxes. His job is to find more ways to hire more people we don't need. And his job is to lie to people's face to get those taxes to go up. And they have no leg to stand on. Too many of them have been caught lying too many times to be taken seriously and to be respected. And this is how all of your listeners can go right past all the complexity. Like, I don't care My neighbors are being pushed out of their homes. We're all going broke with your property taxes. We've had to tighten the belt. You can freeze your spending for 5 years. And if we have to cut your spending, you can bill me.
All right, what's that website for the good of Illinois, Bruno, that you're ahead of?
Well, forthegoodofillinois.org, and I know it's a mouthful, but it's just spelled like it sounds, for those who can still spell. Forthegoodofillinois.org, and that's where we have our blog posts and some of the links to the stuff that we do. But one of the more fun things that all your listeners can do is they can go to openthebooks.com, and that is our transparency portal. And there's various ways, I'm trying to get some videos up online to show people how to use it and start searching for things. It's actually fairly self-explanatory, but you kind of want, like, if you want to go out and find out how much Elgin spending has gone up over the last few years, or how much, you know, Kerry's been spending on this, that, or the other thing, you can go right to the town and look at what the salaries are, and then look at you can also now do some financial statistics on total spending and things like that. So it's a pretty cool tool. We're going to be adding functionality to it every couple weeks. We're going to be putting more data in, and we're actually getting close to being able to have that site go national with national data.
All right, we're talking with Bruno Barron. He's becoming one of our regulars on Freedom Rings. He is the head of For the Good of Illinois. The what are you? What's your official position again?
Executive Director of For the Good of Illinois.
Executive Director for Good of Illinois. Phone number here is 847-931-1410. I'm going to attempt, I know unsuccessfully, to get back to national politics after we break for these few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John.
Call John Spazzeri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazzeri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. We're talking with Bruno Baron and one of my favorite guests. Bruno, I'm going to assume, and I know this is not as your official, this is as your own person. It has nothing to do with any organizations you're involved with. But I'm going to assume you're going to vote for Mitt Romney for president.
Yes, I am going to vote for Mitt Romney for president. Well, let's put it this way. Here in Illinois, since Barack Obama's going to win no matter what, if somebody could show me someone who I agreed with enough, who I could vote for as a protest vote, and I don't know who the Libertarian nominee is going to be, but here in Illinois,
for the Libertarian. You're so busy studying all the intricacies of Illinois property tax politics and law that you don't even know that Gary Johnson, former New Mexico governor, is the Libertarian nominee.
I probably did know that, and I've forgotten it because I'm getting senile.
But
I actually like Gary Johnson a lot. I saw him at we had him at our EIF 2 years ago when I was at Heartland.
I can't vote for him, Bruno.
You can't vote for Gary Johnson?
No, because
why?
He pandered to the Fox News special report Brett Baer people back last fall when he was running as a Republican presidential candidate when they asked him about the Alaki murder by President Obama. And he said, what would you do? And he says, I'm not saying I wouldn't have also done the same thing. I just would have been more open about it. I would have had an open process. Now, but it anticipates my original question was going to be to you, Bruno, was how can you vote for a president who's in favor of murdering American citizens without any due process of law? Now, Obama has done it. Romney says he would do it. And even the Libertarian candidate said he'd probably do it. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to write in Ron Paul. I'm going to make sure Ron Paul is a valid write-in candidate in Illinois.
Well, again, at the risk of getting disinvited from your show, I respect the fact that that is a deal killer for you. On the other hand,
among others,
among
others, other deal killers. That's one.
Okay,
go ahead.
And you know what? I think it's a principled position. I don't think it's the only principled position. And
that's what you got.
I'm concerned if there's some American citizen in a foreign country who's apparently relatively skilled at recruiting people who want to blow up planes or put bombs in their underwear or something like that. I got to tell you, and I know this probably doesn't make your very very libertarian audience feel that good, but I really honestly don't have a problem with them being taken out.
You agree with Philip K. Dick's point in his novel that made it a movie, very good movie, Minority Report, that constitutes crime and should be convicted as such.
Let's put it this way: is it a crime to advocate for the murder of American citizens? I think if you could show me that this guy never really advocated for their murder, if you could show me that this guy wasn't really a specific, clear, and present threat in terms of using whatever skills he had to persuade people to kill other people, I think I could take your point. But I
need. Well, slow. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I need to turn that on you. What if you were in a situation where the leader of your country, let's say, had killed maybe not so many American citizens, but hundreds of thousands abroad, without any declared war, innocent people through, let's say, drone attacks, killed countless innocent people with drone attacks, and there was no more legal manner of bringing justice to that leader of that country. Do you think it's the moral thing to do and shouldn't be against the law to advocate the removal in whatever way possible of a leader of that country?
Well, I don't know about the caveat of whatever way possible, since you and I both know that there's, when people say things like that, it could mean, you know, aggressive protests on the White House, in front of the White House in one person's mind, and it could mean more extreme measures in other people's mind, and you got to be careful. I mean,
we're careful with what we're saying here, Bruno, because we know, because of the surveillance nature of the United States of America, you can't even be more explicit. Neither can I. We're going to have a knock-knock-knock at the door by the Secret Service. Is that right?
And I could make the case that such things are, you know, again, I don't take what I when I use the word extreme, I don't mean it in a negative way. There are people who are extreme in their dislike of abortion. There are people who are extreme in their defense of abortion rights. So I'm not using this as a pejorative. I'm just saying that I don't take the extreme or the, you know, from what your perspective, you would call it the ultimately principled position. And I think people with, you know, different principles on different things are going to debate that. So it is.
The founding fathers, should they have not fought a violent revolution against King George? I think we could both agree was a Tea Party compared to what we have today.
Yes, and I think that they were justified. And what they did is they didn't really declare war as much as they declared their independence. At which point Britain entered the war. And
right.
I do think that,
right.
I'll give you an example. I get in this debate with libertarians a lot. It would have been far more moral and upright for any president, whether it's Clinton or Bush or Obama or anybody, to formally declare war on Iraq and ask for a congressional vote. And a lot of the criticism that was, you know, of drone attacks and innocent lives and all this other stuff would have been much more, what's the word? I mean, I hate to use this word for it, but it fits. It would have been more defensible because you said, well, I went to Congress in a representative republic and that Congress declared war and now I'm executing that war. And I will agree with every libertarian who says we ought to have end police action, so to speak, and declare and have these things being declared war.
And we agree with that, and that's a step in the right direction. But you pointed out that our founding fathers declared their independence, and that reminded me of the fact that there's a movement in this country called the Sovereign Movement, who've basically said the same thing. We're independent. We are not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States that is presently being forced upon us. That sovereign movement considered terrorists by the United States government.
They should not be considered terrorists until they actually engage in a quote unquote terrorist act. It's a very, very slippery slope. I mean, my favorite blogger, who's more of a conservative than a libertarian, he has a little tenet that he uses. He says, when a people think of themselves as a nation, they are one. There's also libertarian arguments that say the South should have been allowed to secede instead of actually fighting a war to prevent them from secession.
There's no question about that. No question.
Within our lives, I mean, we don't know exactly how things are going to play out, but if you look at population trends in California, you could conceivably see, Mexican-American citizens, American citizens, I'm not talking about illegals, you could see Mexican-American citizens begin a movement to have California secede from the United States.
I'm not sure that would be such a bad thing.
The realm of possibility.
I'm sure that would be such a bad thing. I would love to see multiple secession units, states, municipalities, whatever. To me, that's what freedom is all about.
Once you get back to your 2-hour show, and I'll do everything I can to get a 2-hour show going for you, we could have a long debate on the borderline between a cohesive, culturally secure, free nation of people, which I think we are, but I would agree we're rapidly losing that, and a chaos. I mean, there's a reason that they created the United States of America instead of attempting to rely on the the Articles of Confederation. The Articles of Confederation wasn't working. The whole United States
for one reason. For only one reason, not because of the libertarian aspects of it, but because of the aspects that allowed each state to print their own phony money. That's the reason the Articles of Confederation didn't work. Now, I know you used to work with the Bass over at the Heartland Institute, so I know that you know what the term nomos means.
Yes, I do, but it's flipping.
Spontaneous like order. It's a phrase coined by F.A. Hayek.
Yes.
Called spontaneous order. When you use terms like the term chaos, it tells me that you really don't believe the Hayekian view of human nature.
Actually, I do, but I don't take all of these things to some what I consider illogical, but you might consider logical, because this is a debate here. I don't think you take them to an utter and complete extreme.
Is there something inherently illogical to carry something to its extreme?
Yes. There is, and I don't have time to go into the reasoning for it right now, but it would make a great conversation. But I'll just say this. I use the spontaneous order versus what I call controlled chaos all the time as an example of why just letting vouchers work would be better for education. And quite frankly, I'll take it one step further if you want to get really extreme here, and I would say that if you just stop taxing and spending for education tomorrow. If you just said, like, on June 15th, there's no more public school, we're going to zero out federal spending, we're going to zero out state spending, and we're going to zero out local spending, and you're all on your own as to how you get educated, I would make the case that the order that would spontaneously generate, while there would be flaws and there would be bad things happening, could not possibly underperform the controlled chaos of the corrupt district system we have right now.
Well, we agreement there. I mean, total agreement there. I'm not sure how that supports your position that extremism to the nth degree is illogical. I'm really fascinated by that concept.
I'll try and explain it this way, and again, it's a worthwhile debate, because there's a difference between freeing up an industry and freeing up a drive that we all have, which is to become smarter and educate our children and educate ourselves. Between freeing that kind of thing up, which is a controlled mechanism at this point in time, to basically saying, well, let Lake Forest, Illinois, declare independence, and Highland Park can maybe stay inside the state, but then Chicago can declare independence, and then the Indian tribes can declare their independence. That doesn't
prevent contracts between various entities, does it?
This is where this whole debate comes together in where we agree and where we disagree. I think that some point in time in our human evolution, and probably sooner rather than later, we may be able to revert to that kind of a system. For now, and I'll take this right back to Iraq and everything else like that, if you remove the control rod of the American empire, and it is an empire...
It's going to create a power vacuum.
Yes. And there would be, let's put it this way.
And that's enough for another show or three or ten.
Exactly. And because I guarantee you one thing, what would happen would not be some beautiful libertarian spontaneous order, which I agree with you is the goal we want to head toward. What would happen instead would be a very, very dangerous state of affairs, which would actually make all of us poorer and less stable. But I realize, having said that I haven't made the case. I have stated my position, but making my case would take, like I said, another couple hours of shows.
All right, well, we'll do that in a little bit. Bruno, thanks so much again. For the good of Illinois.org?
Yes.
All right.
B-E-H-R-E-N-D, at forthegoodofillinois.org is my email address. And thanks again for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks, Bruno. We're going to do it again very shortly. Thank you.
You bet. Take care.
All right, this is from Albert Einstein. This is for everybody out there, including Bruno. Unthinking respect for... That's unfair. I shouldn't say it, because he probably agrees with this. Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth.